Well, it's good to see everyone on this New Year's Day, and we're going to be in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 19. Usually in between Christmas and, slightly after New Year's, I preach a topical series while I transition between the expository series. We finished John, and then we did our Christmas series, and so we're going to be beginning the book of Revelation next week, and we'll be going verse by verse through the book of Revelation. Today, I'm going to preach a message called The State of the Church. And it's kind of like a State of the Union address. You know, the president, he gives a State of the Union, so I don't have my tie on this morning, but nonetheless, I'm going to give a State of the Church address, and so we'll do that. And we'll see how it goes. The first year I've ever done one. So by way of introduction, Happy New Year. On the Isle of Patmos, John saw a vision. The Lord told him to write three things. In verse 19, he said, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. And it's generally accepted that the book of Revelation can be divided into these three parts. For instance, John Wesley wrote, write the things which thou hast seen this day, which accordingly are written in Revelation 1:11 through 18. And the things which are, that is the instructions relating to the present state of the seven churches, and these are written in Revelation 1:20 through 3:22. And the things which shall be hereafter to the end of the world, written in Revelation 4:1 through the end. And so that's what Wesley said. And that's the general consensus of the commentators that this verse 19, gives an outline for the whole book of Revelation. And we'll talk about that next week as we get into the first chapter and go verse by verse through the first chapter. But today I want to do something that I seldom ever do, and that is I'm going to take verse 19 and use the ideas in it to preach a topical message about our church. So basically I'm going to take the verse out of context and preach a message. So I don't ever do this, and I've taught you all never to do this. A text without a context is a pretext. So I'm gonna give you the context first, which I've just done, and then I'm gonna use the ideas in it to preach about the church. But this is not something I normally do. I want to look at what we have seen, where we are, and where we're going. And so we're going to look at those things. So the first thing is the things we have seen. The things we have seen. Verse 19, part A. Write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. For John, the things which he had seen was the vision of Christ that he had just seen. And for us, the things which we have seen is the last year, and so we're gonna recap things that we've seen during the last year, and really we've seen over the pandemic. But the average attendance in the church for the first part of 2022 was 19. I have a computer program where I keep track of attendance, and we were at 19 for the first several months. And that was pretty much average throughout the coronavirus pandemic to the first few months of 2022. 19. The average attendance for the last few months has been 31. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Children's church has grown from 2 to 9 or 10, depending on which children are here. We praise the Lord for that. God has given us youth to minister to. That's middle and high school, which we haven't had. God gave a new family to join the church. And he's given us many visitors. Throughout the pandemic, we were praying for visitors, and it's kind of like the spout was turned on the last several months. God has given us new children's church workers. We took on a new missionary family in 2022. Praise the Lord for that. In 2022, sermons on sermon audio have been streamed or downloaded 1,628 times and heard in 34 states in the United States and 34 countries around the world, including the United Kingdom, Spain, Singapore, Uganda, India, Brazil, and the Philippines. Now, when it says they're streamed, I don't know how long they stream them, but even half of that number is correct. We still praise God for that. So the ministry of the church has gone on, and the Lord is blessing the church in every way. There are four things that have been happening that I think are essential, and so we're going to talk about these things. Number one, the Word. The Word. The Word is being preached and taught at Harmony, and we've done that for the past several years. And the Bible tells us that that's what we're supposed to do as a church. For instance, 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." So everything that we need, everything I need for the maintenance of a church, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, is found in Scripture. And so we preach the Bible, because the Bible is the Word of God, and the Bible provides everything that we need. 2 Timothy 4:2, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, exhorted Timothy to preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So we preach the Word. And I have preached the Word here for the past 7 years. We preached the Word when we came. We preached the Word after some troubling times that the church had. We preached the Word through the coronavirus pandemic, when I had no idea if anyone was listening to the Word. For the first couple of services, I came in here and tried to preach live, and then I figured out you could record it and make it look like it was live, so we started doing that. That worked out better. But we preached the Word, and we've continued to do that, and the Bible commands that that be done. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is quick or living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Can that be said of any other book? I mean, there's no other book that's like a two-edged sword that can cut through. And that's why you can be sitting in church and the Word of God is preached and the Holy Spirit speaks to you about something and it pierces through, and the Holy Spirit speaks to you through His Word. There's no other book that can do that. And so we preach the living and powerful Word of God, and we teach it in our Sunday schools and in our children's church. 1 Corinthians 3:11 through 13 says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." And if you are basing your salvation on any other foundation other than Jesus Christ, then you need to repent and believe the gospel this morning. There are a lot of people that are basing their salvation, and maybe not here, But there are a lot of people in our community basing their salvation on a church or on a confirmation or on something. Maybe it's your parents were Christians or your grandparents were Christians, and they base their salvation on those things. But that foundation will not get you to heaven. There's only one foundation that will save, and that is Jesus Christ. And when you build a building, if you don't have a good foundation, the building won't stand.
Amen.
And so, in your personal life, search your own heart, search your own life, and say, have I placed my faith in Jesus Christ? Do I believe in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior? And don't trust in a church or a confirmation or a baptism or the way you were brought up. Trust in Christ alone for your salvation. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. By the way, our foundation is also not our faith. Now, we're saved by grace through faith. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. But when I was younger, I thought that you had to believe a certain amount or a certain way. And I analyzed it because I overanalyze everything. And so I analyzed it and I said, am I really believing in Christ? Am I really trusting in Him alone? And I worked really hard to trust in Christ alone. And I tried to figure out how to do that. Now, maybe you've never done that, but that's what I did. And the thing is that faith is a work of God on your heart. It's something that the Holy Spirit does in your heart. And so your thing is just, do you realize you're a sinner? Do you realize that Jesus died on the cross for your sins? Do you believe in Him? Will you receive Him as your Savior? And God does the rest. He'll take care of it. And so salvation is not your work. It's not something that you can believe good enough to attain. It is something that God does inside of you. And you simply must believe the gospel, receive Christ, and He'll take care of it. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, after saying that, Paul says this. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now, this passage is written particularly to preachers and teachers of the Bible. And what it is saying to preachers and teachers of the Bible is that there's no other foundation but Christ Jesus, but you build upon that foundation. And you can either build with gold and precious stones, or you can build with wood, hay, and stubble. And there's coming a judgment. There's the judgment seat of Christ, where we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And God is going to look at our work or our ministries, and He's going to see how we built upon the foundation of Christ Jesus. Did we build with gold and precious stones, or did we build with wood, hay, and stubble? Well, gold and precious stones is the Word of God in context, preached and taught. And wood, hay, and stubble is the garbage and rubbish that is preached in some places where the Bible is not preached, where a scripture is read. And, I mean, it's odd for me to say this on a day when I'm doing something like this. But I am using other scripture. But, I mean, there are some places where scripture's read, and then you get a 30-minute message on why women shouldn't wear breeches or something like that. And so what I'm saying is that we preach the Bible, and we're going to preach the Bible in context, And that is the proper thing to build upon, faith in Christ. Faith in Christ is the foundation, and then we have to study the Bible and read the Bible. And each one of you has a personal obligation, as I have a personal obligation, to get in the Word of God and read the Bible and study and get your family in the Word of God and build upon the foundation of Christ. Now, the second thing we have had is prayer. Prayer. And prayer has been very important. People have been praying for the church to grow for years. And we praise the Lord that God is answering prayer. The Bible says that this is important. In the early church, Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. So essential to the growth of the early church was prayer. We're running them out the door, amen. Yes, it's a revival. It's okay to laugh in church, folks. Enjoy yourself. But this was, that's right. But they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking bread and prayer. So prayer was essential in the early church. This was one of the things that was done that caused the church to grow. Acts 4:31 says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." So they were filled together, or they were all together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And they prayed. They prayed. And this is real revival. This is what happens when real revival happens, is that people are assembled together and they're praying and they're filled with the Holy Ghost, and the result is that they speak the Word of God with boldness. Now, the Bible doesn't teach that when people are filled with the Holy Ghost that they'll do a bunch of nonsense. The Bible teaches that they'll speak the Word of God with boldness. And that's real revival. And then Matthew 9:38, Jesus said, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." And we've been praying for that for many years, that God would give us new laborers. And God is giving us new laborers to go work with the children and new missionaries to take on so we can extend our ministry. And so God is sending laborers forth into his harvest. And we're going to continue to pray for those things. You know, Psalm 127, verse 1 says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." And the Lord must build the house. Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Jesus did not say, "Upon this rock I will build your church." And he did not say, "Upon this rock, you will build my church." But he said, "Upon this rock, I will build my church." And so, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." And so we want the Lord to build the church. And the way we get that is by praying for the Lord to send forth laborers into his harvest. And that's what we've been doing, and we need to continue to do. Now, the third thing I see is that we've been meeting together. We've been meeting together. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Essential in the early church, Acts 2:42, was assembling together. Acts 4:31, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness." The fourth thing that we see is outreach. That was essential in the early church, and that's something we've been doing here as well. Matthew 28:19-20, the Great Commission says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost." teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. And so we are to go into all the world and teach all nations. We're to evangelize. We're to do outreach. Acts 8, verses 3 through 4, you know, the Apostle Paul, before he was the Apostle Paul, before he was saved, he was winning souls to Christ. It's a pretty amazing thing, but God was using him even before he was saved, when he was persecuting the church. Acts 8, 3 through 4, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. You see, God had a plan for Saul, just like he has a plan for each one of us. But God wanted to use the Apostle Paul, and so before he was even saved, God allowed him to persecute the church. And in his persecution, he was going around having people arrested. And in that persecution, it caused the church to scatter. And you know, Jesus had told the apostles, go ye into all the world. And instead of going into all the world and preaching the gospel, they all stayed at Jerusalem. And so God sent persecution, and he allowed Paul to scatter the church through persecution so they would go everywhere preaching the gospel. And then he saved Paul and used him as a missionary to carry the gospel around the world. Only God can do that, by the way. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Now, I'm going to read to you from churchleaders.com. This is an article by Enoch Hill on church decline and recovery during COVID-19. As a macroeconomist who studies movements in aggregate variables, it is hard to underemphasize how unusual movements this large are. Among churches surveyed, so they did a survey of a bunch of churches, and this was written in October 2021, and so he says, among churches surveyed, in-person attendance has suffered dramatically. At the peak of COVID in January 2021, in-person attendance had fallen by 60% compared to January of the preceding year. This means that for every 10 people attending in-person the prior year, only 4 were attending in-person in January of 2021. People have started to return to church. In January 2021, in-person attendance was a meager 40% of the preceding year. Just 3 months later, that number had risen to 57% of the pre-pandemic crowd. Even better, much of this represents increased engagement by parishioners. While we have seen remote attendance begin to drop, the increase in physically present worshipers has more than offset the decrease. In August 2020, Tom Rainier predicted that roughly 20 to 30% of church members would not return to church after the pandemic. There were some, well, a bunch of us believed that this was true at that time. So 20 to 30%. Thankfully, we have reason to believe that may have been pessimistic. Among churches surveyed as of January 2021, combined in-person and remote attendance was just over 80% of pre-pandemic levels. So not as bad as they predicted. Now, this was from a survey of different churches. Now, the interesting thing here is that we did not follow this trend. In other words, churches in the community started seeing attendance pick up in 2021. And by 2022, most churches were back, not quite to the levels they were pre-pandemic, but they were back. We did not see this at the beginning of 2022. We were averaging 19. So why have we suddenly seen in the past 6 months, this dramatic increase in attendance. It's not because of a trend. It's because of God. There's no other way to explain it. So we've looked at the things which were. Now we're going to look at the things which are. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. So in October 2016, I preached a series based on Acts 2:42 through 47 on four things as a vision for the church. These four things are the things we've been discussing. And they were word, worship, witness, and witness. And we've been doing these things, and by the grace of God, we're going to continue to do these things. So I'm going to revive these things. I haven't looked at this in many years, but word, worship, witness, and witness. And so we'll look at these things. Word. We're going to continue to preach and teach the Word of God. The Word continues to be taught from the pulpit and online. The Word is being systematically taught in children's church and Sunday school. We're teaching core doctrines. We're teaching apologetics in Sunday school, that is, defense of the faith. We're teaching whole books of the Bible. We've finished John, and now we're going to go through the book of Revelation. And by God's grace, we're going to keep simply teaching and preaching the Bible simply. That's what we're going to do. Our children are going to be learning core doctrines through a catechism. And that's going to be fun. I'm sorry, I have attention deficit disorder, so anything, it just distracts me. That's why I can't preach in nursing homes. No, it's true. In nursing homes, people get up and wander around. It just distracts me terribly. Johnny was preaching. Y'all remember Johnny? He was preaching in a nursing home one time, and this lady started pointing to, there were geese out on the pond, and she started pointing to the window and said, the geese, they're coming for us. They're going to kill us, the geese. And he just kept right on preaching, but I can't do that. So we're going to continue to preach and teach the Word of God. Second thing is worship. We're going to continue to pray. We're going to worship God at home and corporately. We're going to pray for the growth of the church and for God to send more laborers. Witness. We will continue to meet together. Never again, I hope, will churches close their doors for long periods of time. Some of that was a great blessing by focusing us on evangelism and essential things, and I know that God used the pandemic in my own life, but some of it did great damage. And, we made the best decisions we could, given the information we were given and what other churches in the area were doing. But fellowship is essential, and I hope never again do churches close their doors for long periods of time. Yeah, we did keep in touch. That's very true.
I bet a lot of other churches did not.
Well, it's because of our size. I mean, that's what I did on Sunday afternoon. I called a lot of people and a lot of members, and we would talk, and we had text messages going, and so we did keep in touch. And we were only closed for, 4 weeks? I think we were closed for about 4 weeks. And then witness. We're going to continue to have outreach like the Christmas play and trunk or treat and mass mail outs and community events and all those things. Witness. So word, worship, witness, and witness. And now we're going to look at the things which shall be hereafter. Write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. So, who knows what the future holds for Harmony Baptist Church? Certainly God knows, but we don't know. But we know that Christ will be with us if we continue to carry out the Great Commission, because He's promised He would. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So Christ has promised that He will be with us if we carry out the Great Commission. If a church is not carrying out the Great Commission, they are not fulfilling their God-ordained purpose. Our purpose is to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and then teaching them to observe all things whatsoever Christ has commanded us. And if we're not doing that, what purpose do we have? All we have is a social club, and that's not what we are. So we've got to be evangelizing, and as we carry out the Great Commission and we make disciples, then we'll see the church continue to grow. And the kind of discipleship that we do here is not really a discipleship program. Though we do have discipleship programs if you're interested in that, but what we want is a relational discipleship, which this was another word that was used in this original lesson, which was preached in 2016, discipleship, relational discipleship, discipleships in the context of relationships. And so discipleship works like this. If I have lunch with you, or you have lunch with somebody, or you hang out with somebody, or you're friends with somebody, and you talk about what you're studying in the Bible, and you help them. Maybe they don't know how to study the Bible, so you help them learn how to study the Bible. And as you meet, for instance, the small groups we have that meet in at Steve and Cindy's house, the small groups they have, that's, you know, relational discipleship, because you're studying the Bible and you're meeting, you're eating, and you're having conversations, and you're sharing burdens, and you're praying. And a lot of us do that just in our daily lives. And as we do that, find somebody that needs help with the Bible and help in their Christian walk. We all need it. And help one another. You know, the Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a friend sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. So through friendships, we build on our knowledge of the Bible and on our walk with Christ, and we help one another. So relational discipleship, and that's what we want to practice here in our church. And by doing that, by evangelizing and laying the foundation of Jesus Christ, and then building upon that with the Word of God through relational discipleship, the church will continue, by the grace of God, to grow as we reach more people for Christ. And so, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You for these people. I thank You for the work You're doing in this place. And I do thank You for the things that we have seen. You've done great works at Harmony Baptist Church. We thank You for the things which we're seeing now and which are. And we thank You for the things which will be as we carry out the Great Commission. And we know You're with us and working amongst us. And we do pray that You would forgive us for our sins. Fill us with Your Holy Spirit. We pray if anyone here does not know You as Savior, that today would be the day that they would turn to You in faith and believe in You, Lord Jesus Christ, as their personal Savior, and be born again by faith in Christ. And we do pray for those that have loved ones that are not saved or not in church, and we pray that You would give us the words to say and help us to know what to do to reach them, and to get them into church, and more importantly, to get them to Christ. And we do pray that You would just help us during this new year. Strengthen us. Help those who are sick. Help those who are hurting to feel better. Help those who are depressed or those who are dealing with troubles. I pray You give them hope and strength And I just pray you give us everything we need during this new year. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name.